Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Robin Williams, and I want to welcome you to Hebron Church today, whether you are here with us in the congregation or watching us online. Wherever you're coming from and whatever you are bringing with you this week, we pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here with us today. We have a few announcements. We want to welcome the Reverend Joel Morgan to the pulpit as Pastor Noah is away. I think you all know he and Addison were married on Friday, so they're off on a little trip to Williamsburg, and we wish them all the joy in the world as they enter their new life together. Reverend Morgan, after 20 years of ministry at Westminster Church in Richmond and following his nonprofit work with drug recovery communities, has answered a call to serve as pastor of Camel Memorial Presbyterian Church in Weems starting next month. And we also wish him great joy and happiness in his new role. And we know that the congregation of Campbell Memorial will be in good shape. Mark your calendars for next Monday, June 16th at 7 p.m. The church will be hosting Impact Youth Choir from Burke Presbyterian Church. This is part of their summer choir tour. We also want to welcome Deborah Hewish, our guest musician today, who will be joining Marcus at the keyboard. And I want to read a little thank you note from Addison and Noah. Dear Hebron family, thank you for celebrating our marriage with us and for helping with the cookie reception. You know who you are. God has richly blessed us with this community, and we look forward to being back soon. Please enjoy these flowers from our wedding. We love you, and God loves you. Are there any other announcements? Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah and Marcus. That was beautiful. Would you please rise and join me in the call to worship? Remember the promise of the Lord.
God will pour out the Spirit on all flesh.
The Spirit of God renews the earth.
Bless the name of the Lord.
The same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ was raised for us. Christ reigns in power for us. So as an ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith that holds us fast using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christian, what do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father.
Through him all
things were made. Thus, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare to hear the scripture for this morning, it is a scripture that is read generally every year. Today is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, Penti, 5 or 50, was 50 days after the Passover. It is, for the Jewish people of the time, it was the celebration of Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks. It was a harvest festival. The first fruits of the field were brought to Jerusalem and given in the temple. In modern times, and I don't remember when this changed, it also became a celebration of the law being given to Moses. And so that's when they celebrate Shabbat today, that is the primary celebration. And so as we come to our scripture in Acts chapter 2, a lot has happened after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has ascended. They came back to Jerusalem, the disciples and those who were gathered with them. They think about 120 or so folks who were regularly gathering. And they have they cast lots to elect the person to replace Judas among the 12 disciples. And so then we come to our scripture for today. So let us pray, and then I'll read the scripture. Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds, our lives to you, to hear this word fresh and new for us, that you might speak through us for all those who need to hear about your great deeds of power in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen now to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed and saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'Ah, they're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." So I'd love for you to imagine a small house. The one that I'm going to describe to you is the one that I grew up in. I think it was my mother sitting in the front row, so she can verify the facts here. But I think it was maybe 900 square feet. And the living room had been two rooms at one time, but what had been opened up. But I want you to imagine that room, this small living room. filled with card tables and women from the county extension group all around those card tables having a luncheon that my mom was hosting. You remember these? And imagine me now, if you can, as a small child, and I'm, you know, running around doing whatever small children do to cause trouble when there are lots of people in the house. But what I'm hearing, as my father would describe, is the hens gathered. Cluck, 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 cluck. You know, they're just talking, and I can't understand a word because it's loud, and they're just going on in their things, and you're picking up pieces of this and that. And so I think in some ways, like, it's a fond memory just because of being at home and those gatherings, but I think about that kind of cacophony in our world today. We have a lot of voices that speak into our heads all the time today, right? You've got these distraction training devices that we carry around with us called cell phones. We have the TV. We have radio if you listen. You have all of these different voices, maybe friends too, who are always chirping and talking and telling us things, and sometimes I wonder, we take in all this information, but are we hearing it? And how do we discern what we ought to hear? And so we come to this scripture passage, and I think it is really, it's just such an amazing passage, and one that for most of us Christians, we hear most every year, and so a lot of it just goes over our heads. And so as I've tried to come to it fresh again this year, I want to walk us through parts of it a little bit. So again, I talked about what the feast was and that they were together, and as the people that are there, I've often thought that, oh, it was just these pilgrims coming for the Feast of Shavuot that were there. But Jerusalem was a city that drew immigrants to it. There were people who came from other places and other countries to live there, to do trade, and to be part of this what at that time was probably a relatively major city at the time. I don't know, has anyone been to Jerusalem who's in this congregation? Have you been? Yeah, the old city is really something. All the different gates and entrances into it and the narrow passageways and how it's built up and the stone. And so just beginning to try to imagine what it would have been like to have been there with a festival day or a festival week and to have all those people milling around and people doing business and the yells and the smells and all of that. And so they were gathered there, and I'm not really sure, it doesn't really say if it's the 12 or if it's all 120 of them were gathered somewhere. Because, you know, in the city, there are places where it's sort of open and people might just gather, and that would have been sort of a home. It would have been open on the sides, and so you could hear people talking. You could have looked in and see them eating, that sort of thing. So if you can imagine that scene. And it says, the sound, suddenly from heaven there came the sound like a rush of a violent wind. So this is a very descriptive word, this violent wind. So it's loud, it's raucous, it comes suddenly, violently, this rush of wind. We sometimes think of the Spirit, you know, coming and filling us, and it's this lovely warm thing. But this is this very violent kind of way that it comes. And so I can only imagine that it may have startled some people, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then these tongues of fire appear, which is just this amazing image. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but we used to do children's messages where we would make these little paper things of fire. We would clip them in people's hair, and so everybody had this little flame of fire. You know, the kids were walking around with these flames of fire in their head, like a tiara or something. I don't think it was quite looked like that, but and a tongue rested on each of them. And then they begin to speak in these other languages. And I'm wondering if, you know, they may not have understood what they were saying. And this is not what Pentecostals would say was speaking in tongues, because this is not unintelligible speech. Because all of a sudden, it says there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. So people had moved. You had immigrants from other places. And then, of course, you had all the pilgrims that were there. And the crowd that was gathered, because I'm wondering if they heard this wind and they were like, what is going on here? And then they hear these voices, and then they hear it in their own language. If you've ever traveled abroad, which I'm guessing many of you have, and you've gone somewhere where the primary language is not English, and you're somewhere out in the marketplace, or you're, you know, going out to eat or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear American English, boy, your ear just picks that up right away, doesn't it? Boom. Oh my gosh, I can understand that, whereas all this other is just sort of, you know, feels like gobbledygook, you know? And so I can only imagine these folks that are there, just boom, they're locked in. And what they're hearing is not just like, oh, what'd you have for lunch or whatever. They're hearing about the acts of God, the mighty deeds of God, in their own language. And it's affecting them in a new way. They're hearing something in a way that speaks to them in the way that they need to be spoken to. And what's interesting about that is then people are incredibly confused. They say they're amazed and astonished. People are bewildered because can you imagine, right? You have all these different people standing around and every one of them believes they're hearing their own language, and they are. It says amazed and astonished. They ask, well, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How would they know all of these different tongues and even dialects? All of these named folks. And we hear them speaking of God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, bewildered. And of course, some smart guy, probably in the gathered people, says, "Well, they're just drunk, right?" And I love Peter. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Of course, they couldn't be drunk, right? Well, anyway, that's who knows. But I love then that he comes and he. And Peter takes this opportunity to draw them together and to talk about the prophet Joel and how Joel has spoken about in the last days. Because, of course, they believe that they were in those last days, that the coming of Christ signaled the beginning of this new era, that Jesus' resurrection and ascension signaled a new time for the entire universe. That people had been given the gift of a new life and that they could begin to live that new life now. And so he connected it with this prophetic text about how old men will dream dreams, young men and women will see visions, even slaves, both men and women, will have the Spirit poured out on them. And this, it was happening right before their eyes. And I think the most amazing thing about this entire passage is that none of this, the pouring out of the Spirit at this point, the speaking in tongues, none of it was for those 120 who already believed. It was for the others. It was for the outsiders. It was for those who had not yet heard of God's deeds of power in their own way, in their own language, so that they might be invited into this amazing thing that had happened in Jesus. And I often think about us, people of faith, you know, we read the scripture and we say, what's God speaking to me? Right? And I think that's a wonderful practice, and we should always do that. We should be reading scripture as regularly as we can, worshiping as regularly as we can, and asking, God, what do you have for me? What is it that I need to be doing, or what is it that I need to be hearing, and how can I find comfort in this if I'm struggling? I mean, all of those things are good, but I don't know that we often think, what are you saying that I need to be conveying to the others? How often do we ask, Holy Spirit, Fill me with you so that I might speak in a way to others that would draw them to Christ. How do I need to speak in the language of today in order to draw people so that they might hear God speaking in their lives about God's deeds of power that have already happened in their lives? Because, you know, we Presbyterians, we believe that God is already at work in everyone's life, right? We don't have to create some magical experience for people to have God in their lives. God is in their lives. What we get to do when the Holy Spirit works through us is open it up so they can see it and understand it and hear it for themselves. And so we do things in the church, as a church, that aren't for us necessarily. And that's kind of foreign to us sometimes. I've heard that you're reconstituting a playground here. Well, as I look around this congregation, I'm not sure how many of you will be playing on that playground, right? Maybe you will be. There are some. But in many ways, this work that you're doing is not for you. It's for the others. It's for the outsiders. It's for the children and the families around who may come to find Hebron as a place of welcome. A place where God speaks through you so that they can hear the welcome of Christ in their own language, in the way that they need to be welcomed, because each one of us needs to be welcomed in a different way. What speaks to me often does not speak to you. What speaks to me definitely does not speak the same way to my wife. You know, it's just we have different ways of understanding and receiving this gift that God has given us. The Holy Spirit has this amazing ability, as demonstrated here and demonstrated throughout time, of just transcending the differences between us, of being able to draw disparate people and different people together to serve a living and a resurrected Christ. And church, big C church, we're supposed to be a foretaste of the fullness of Christ, of that great gift of new life for all people. And so today, as you hear these words afresh, may the Holy Spirit come upon you, that you and the entire Hebron congregation might find ways to speak in the language and for the others, that they might be drawn to this new life in Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise to gather in this place today to hear your word for us and for the others. We give you thanks that we can be in this place that is filled with light and life and your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, for the work of this congregation that you have called Hebron, the people that you have gathered together and you continually gather together and refresh and renew in your spirit. We pray for their pastor, Noah, that as he and Addison begin their new life as husband and wife, that they would continue to be blessed and to be a blessing in this congregation. Bless their common life to be a blessing to all people. We pray, O Lord, for the work of this congregation out in this community. We pray for their endeavor to refurbish the playground and to make it a place of welcome and of play and of fun and of joy. May your Spirit bless it with all good things. Lord God, we pray for the presbytery, these gathered 95 or so congregations who seek to serve you and be connected with you. We pray for the gathering of the commissioners of the presbytery on Tuesday as they do the work that you have asked us to do. May we make good decisions. May we follow your Spirit. We pray, Lord God, for the world. For all the people in the world who have been displaced because of war or famine or trial. For all those who are hungry and suffering. We pray for the leaders of the world. That in a time when it is easy to be selfish and short-sighted, that the leaders that we have elected in those places or those who have taken up leadership would have their hearts moved to compassion, to care. For we know, Lord God, that often we in a country is really judged by how we treat the least of those among us. So may our leaders lead us in that way. And may we call them to accountability when they do not. We pray for all of those who suffer with anxiety and fear in a tumultuous time. There are a lot of things in the world, Lord, that feel very unsure and unsteady. So we pray that we would cling to your gospel and cling to your good news, knowing that our life is held in you, and that no one can take that away. Lord, we lift up before you in our hearts any of the concerns or the joys that we have for our own lives and for those around us. And now, O God, we give you thanks and praise as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I would invite the ushers to take up the offering. return thanks by returning to you the first fruits, we ask that you use these gifts in service of your mission and your ministry, that we might be a blessing to the entire world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. I didn't ask Noah if I could do this, but I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege. First, I want to, if you haven't met, my family is here for the wedding. My mother and my sister Marcia and my mom Linda, my sister Marcia, and my son Adam. I think you've met Adam and you may have met my mom before as she was here over Christmas. And we are so grateful to this congregation. The Holy Spirit has called Noah here to be with you, and you have welcomed he and Addison in just such a wonderful way, and we as his family are so grateful. I have had the privilege of getting to know many of you over this last while I've not been in a church every Sunday. I've been able to come and be with you for events or to worship with you, and I'm just overjoyed with what I see happening in this congregation. There is a sweet, sweet spirit here. And I wanted you to hear that from me. It is really, really a joy to see my son, who will make his own footsteps, not just follow in mine, be in a place that has such joy and a spirit of love and care for itself and for the community that it is in. And so I'm grateful, and I'm going to a place that is very much in that same vein, and so I am grateful to God for that. And I know some of you know people down in the Northern Neck and in Irvington, so if you ever happen to be down over a weekend, please come to Campbell Memorial. We have a 9 a.m. service and an 11 a.m. service. We would love to welcome you to worship with us whenever you would be visiting. Well, we would love to have you come and be with us and join with that wonderful congregation as well. Thank you so much for everything you've done and are doing for us and for God in this community. And so now receive the benediction. May God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and fill you with his presence now and always. And may that presence give you joy and give you life and give you peace Amen.